Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the seventh FTC hearings on competition and consumer protection in the 21st century. I've been told I have about an hour and a half for these introductory remarks. No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. I won't take nearly that long. But let me welcome you. I think these are an incredibly important series of events. We have fantastic panelists who have really important and interesting things to say, and I think it's going to help us create a record that will be very useful for a long time to come. Let me start by giving a couple of quick disclaimers. First, everything I say today in this brief introductory speech will be only my personal remarks, not necessarily the views of the Federal Trade Commission or any commissioner. And let me also, by the way, thank Howard for hosting this event. It's a real pleasure to be here. And parenthetically, if there are any students who come into the audience or are watching or listen to any of this and you're thinking about careers in antitrust, I encourage that. Think about it hard. It is a great career, and call me. The other disclaimer I wanted to give is, for those of you who were not sure what those giant apparatus in the back were, they are cameras. This event is being photographed and webcast. It will be posted to the FTC website, and by participating in the event, you consent to these terms. So I'm just to be clear, if anybody does not want to be on camera, now is the time to make your quick exit. I thought I would start by just briefly talking about the purpose of the hearings. Why are we doing hearings on competition and consumer protection in the 21st century, and why are we doing hearings on artificial intelligence? I know that Professor Gavel spoke about this, and I wanted to echo the educational purpose, the importance of the educational purpose of these hearings. At the Federal Trade Commission, we are very much in study and learning mode on the issues of antitrust and its application to modern and developing technologies. We think debate and discussion is critical, central to the advancement of knowledge and understanding and the development of good competition policy in these areas. We recognize that we, and probably everybody in the world, have a lot to learn about these topics, a lot to think about, and it's, we think, incredibly important to bring together thought leaders and experts on these issues so that we can have the kind of debate that will inform our decision making. Facts are critical, understanding is critical. When you're developing regulatory or enforcement philosophies, it's vital that you have a robust foundation in fact and a robust foundation in theory. And so as we began the process of putting hearings together, as we started looking around the landscape of the antitrust world these days, one of the things that was immediately apparent was there was an awful lot of discussion, but there was not a collection of thinking, a collection of fact, a collection of theory that would enable the development of policy on the kind of foundation that I talked about. So recognizing that gap, I guess, in the underpinnings of enforcement, Chairman Simons thought one way to address this, and Bilal obviously played a huge role in putting this together, was to convene hearings of this sort, hearings similar to those that Chairman Potofsky put together. Now let me turn from that to algorithms, artificial intelligence, machine learning, more specifically. To say that there's a robust debate about the role that these rapidly advancing technologies play in society at large, in our everyday lives and in antitrust enforcement, would greatly understate the issue. I actually spend a lot of time reading about this. I will confess to understanding almost nothing about it because the technologies are so sophisticated, but I read a lot about it. A few days ago, the New York Times quoted Facebook's founder as stating that in the next 5 to 10 years, Facebook will develop artificial intelligence that outperforms humans in all human senses, including cognition. Data scientists at Google have made similar projections, and if you read Sapiens, a book that came out recently, you'll find at the end of it a discussion about whether or not humanity's on a path to replacing itself with some form of artificial intelligence, which has, of course, long been speculated about in science fiction, notably in Terminator, which we don't think is a huge issue right at this moment, but maybe the next set of hearings down the road, you know, 20, 30 years from now. There's, of course, a lot of skepticism about this. One of the things I found about artificial intelligence, I spoke at a conference in Brussels about a year ago, maybe 13 months ago, and there was a great deal of discussion among lawyers about the implications of artificial intelligence and algorithms And I discovered from talking about them that I think there was literally no one in the room who understood anything about how those technologies worked or what their actual capabilities were. And in the course of that, one of the panelists referenced a paper that had been written actually by Kai-Yui Kun and his co-author, Professor Tadellis, that talked about empirical work on artificial intelligence and what algorithms and artificial intelligence were actually capable of doing at the time, which was considerably in tension with the views of the lawyers about what it can do, which frankly I think were largely informed by Terminator. Mm-hmm. So that to me reemphasized the importance of actually developing a foundation and understanding of what these technologies can do. And with that, I'm going to turn a little bit to some discussion of the technologies and their implications. Now, when I talk about these technologies, I'm going to use the term technologies broadly, or I might use algorithms. But I mean by it to group algorithms, artificial intelligence, and machine learning together. I recognize that doing that is inaccurate. These are not the same things. They arguably represent points on a continuum of machine learning or machine approaches to solving problems. But there's actually very considerable differences between machine learning and simple algorithms, between artificial intelligence and different kinds of artificial intelligence, and they may have different implications for policy. But for the purposes of today's brief remarks, I'm not going to try to delve into those differences. I'm going to treat them sort of monolithically. We heard yesterday at the hearings about companies and experts involved in the technological side of this, about how some of these technologies are used in the marketplace, what some of them do, what some consumer protection implications of these issues are. Today we're going to talk more about competition policy. The first panel today is going to talk about whether algorithms can collude or might be able to do so in the future. We're going to have another panel that's going to talk about competition, innovation, and market structure questions that revolve around the use of these technologies. And then we're going to have a panel that wraps up, that talks about legal and regulatory issues going forward. Now, these are hot issues around the world. I think I obviously get a lot of literature or bulletins on upcoming conferences, and I think it would be fair to say that 95% of upcoming competition law conferences involve, at least in part, panels on algorithms, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and technological implications for antitrust policy. We, being the United States Antitrust Agency, submitted a paper to the OECD Competition Committee last year that provides an overview and discussion of some of our thinking on these topics, and in particular on algorithms and collusion. But we also noted in that paper that consumers have benefited a lot from these advances in technology, not just because they drive economic growth, but because they provide low-cost services, they provide higher quality goods and services, more choices, and innovative new products. So, is this a one-way street? Are these technologies merely beneficial? Is there really any basis for any particular competition policy concern? Clearly, there is. Despite the benefits these technologies can bring to consumers, it's easy to see at least possibilities in which competitive dynamics could be put into play by the technologies. Let me talk about a couple specific examples. Number one, is it possible that machine intelligence, artificial intelligence, could actually collude by itself? So imagine that you have, and algorithms I think won't suffice for this, but imagine that I have artificial intelligence where I have machines that are engaging in cognition in some sense, I mean, leaving aside the almost metaphysical question of what cognition actually means. But is it possible that machines could collude in the sense of explicitly agreeing on price, output, customer allocation, market allocation? And if so, what does that mean for antitrust policy? Can you put a machine in jail, for example? Second, and I think arguably of much more short-term significance, is it possible for machines to reach the oligopoly outcomes more quickly or more sustainably than humans can? And let me just digress for 1 second on that. One of the foundational principles of merger policy is that we want to prevent mergers that result in firms acquiring the ability to achieve an oligopoly outcome in price or output. And what I mean by that is, in a non-cooperative oligopoly, you could nevertheless have a situation arise where output is reduced or price is increased towards the cartel outcome or towards the monopoly outcome, because relatively small numbers of firms can reach the conclusion that it is in all of their interest to restrict output or raise price, and that the cumulative effect of doing so is beneficial to all. So the payoff is good, in essence, if you collude without colluding. And this does not involve direct communication. It doesn't involve meeting in the back rooms of restaurants in New York, like the book publishers did, for example, in the e-books case. It doesn't involve the kind of thing that you could be put in jail for. So this is a big concern of merger policy, because once a merger occurs that creates this kind of condition, there's not much we can do about it. Section 1 of the Sherman Act doesn't reach it anymore. So we spend a lot of time thinking about mergers that will enable that outcome to occur so we can prevent it. So a question is, well, can algorithms collude in this sense, in the sense of independently and without communicating with each other, reaching a price-raising or output-reducing outcome better than humans can? A third possibility is, could machine intelligence, algorithms, technology achieve or cement market power by enabling unilateral strategies to acquire, for example, or to destroy competitors before they become a threat? Is it possible that the use of sophisticated technology to survey the landscape and to monitor activity will enable dominant firms to identify threats and extinguish them before they become real threats in some way that is superior to what humans currently could do? And if so, what do we do about it? And I'll come back to that last point in a second. And then, of course, there's other, right? There's a broad category here of things that could happen that we don't really know about. Could, for example, algorithms improve price discrimination? Price discrimination is not necessarily a bad thing. In a lot of contexts, it's welfare enhancing, but also it has some other implications. So I think also when you think about all these issues, you then have to say to yourself, and if so, let's assume any of these things is possible, what will we do about it? And let me just tackle the non-cooperative oligopoly outcome point briefly in this. Let's assume that it was in fact possible for algorithms to independently determine that the best outcome for each of their independent firms was a pricing or output strategy that caused prices to rise or output to fall towards a monopoly type outcome or a cartel outcome. But each algorithm is simply implementing the most rational economic choice for the company that's using it at any given time. Is our solution for that to require companies to program their algorithms to behave irrationally, to make bad decisions? Is that really a logical consequence of antitrust policy? Is it a necessary consequence? I raise that not because I think that's actually the right outcome or the right set of choices that we would have, but simply to suggest that it's not enough to identify potential problems, but you also have to think about what are possible solutions and what are the implications of those solutions, assuming the problem even exists. Now, fundamentally, at this stage, this is an early, early stage in the development of these technologies. I have in my pocket here two iPhones because I've got the government-issued phone and my personal phone. This technology is basically about 10 years old. It's ubiquitous, a smartphone that is. It makes use of a series of other technologies which are in many cases less than 10 years old. It's really difficult to see where all this is going to go in the next 10, 20 years. We don't even fully understand it today. And that, in fact, is the purpose of this panel and the series of panels and the hearings that we're doing in this to determine, as best we can, are these technologies likely to sharpen competition, reduce competition, or do both or neither? And if so, how do we address these issues? I think also one last point on this. There is some real grounds for caution here. We want to be very careful not to regulate or enforce without the kind of empirical, factual, and theoretical framework that I mentioned earlier. Ignorance is not a path to wise policy. I've heard suggestions occasionally that we don't really understand technology, we don't understand artificial intelligence, we don't know what it's going to do, and therefore we should regulate it. That may be so in the sector or regulator context, but I think it's terrible competition policy. For competition policy, what we need and what we have historically emphasized, and this is a point that Bill Kovacic, a former chair at the FTC, made, and I'll circle back to this in a second, is we have tried to do the R&D first, to figure out the issues first, and then develop policy on that kind of foundation. And that parenthetically is an incremental process. We're always learning and always trying to improve what we do. but we don't act before we have some understanding. Bill called it the R&D of competition policy as part of the DNA of what we do in antitrust. I think it's critically important. That is what these hearings are all about. And on that, let me thank all of our, on that note, let me thank our panelists in advance. Let me say that I think the as I said at the beginning, the record that this is going to generate will provide the foundation for the policies that we need to consider in the future. And I'm very grateful to everybody for making the time to be here today. Thank you.